to what extent has the curve, so to speak, of global terrorism been flattened in recent times?
Well, it's true with regards to certain areas. Certainly, we haven't seen the same degree of terrorist activities happening, for example, across Europe or in other parts of the world. But with regards to traditional hotspots, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's Iraq, Syria, Libya, broader Middle East, Africa, the level of terrorist activity hasn't really slowed down. In fact, terrorist organizations try to adopt a new approach of operating in COVID environment. They would when they would issue manuals on how to keep fighting while trying to protect themselves from the COVID spread, etc. But we also have to be realistic and understand if people are willing to sacrifice their lives, being infected by the disease is not of their primary concern.
So if we discuss the fact that terrorism is still occurring in these hotspot areas, but not in some of the other places, over certain borders, over certain areas, apart from those hotspots, what can we put down, firstly, the so-called success of keeping terrorism out of some of those other global areas?
Well, I think the fact that many countries went into shutdown and curfews were imposed, people were kept at home, and movement on streets between cities, between provinces, and leave alone countries was cut to the bare minimum, or in some cases suspended. Certainly created restrictions on terrorist operations, intelligence gathering, movement of resources, reconnaissance missions, and certainly attempts to carry out attacks, because there is no point in trying to get on, say, London Bridge, one of terrorist popular areas in recent times, with an attempt to carry out mass murder when there are no people around. So isolation strategies and containment strategies with respect to containing the pandemic had created positive, at least temporary positive effects on domestic security environments when level of terrorist activities has certainly dropped considerably. But whether it's going to remain a permanent feature or it's just a temporary relief, I think time will tell. I'm pretty confident, unfortunately, that once those restrictions will be lifted, so we would expect a rise of terrorist activities, and not just with respect to our traditional perceptions on what modern terrorists look like, or what sort of philosophies, ideologies they follow, which is which kind of illustrates our preoccupation with Islamic terrorism. But we should also be expecting the rise of right-wing terrorism, also in response to COVID, because of continuous perceptions that virus that originated in China, and as U.S. President Trump began describing it lately as China virus, may be used by those right-wing extremist groups as a form of justification for racially motivated attacks.
In terms of the failures on this one, as you say, recently we might have seen some successes that follow from those lockdowns. But in terms of the failures, we've been fighting this war on terror. There's been a war on terror for the last 20 years, and it's almost like we're told we're winning the war on terror, and yet the enemy continues to increase instead, which isn't exactly the way a war is typically fought. Would it be fair to say the war on terror has been a failure and has, in fact, increased the amount of terrorism we actually see?
Well, it has been a failure, and failure that could be seen on a number of fronts. First of all, our failure on on the battlefield. Yes, we achieved tactical successes. Yes, we managed to dismantle some core elements of terrorist physical infrastructure. Yes, we were able to hit the human resources base. Yes, we were able to strip them of financial revenues and income streams and capture or kill their leadership. But we haven't really eradicated their recruitment base, their popular support. And obviously, when you continuously apply violence, deadly force, time and time again, eventually it will start producing a counter reaction, because an effective use of force can only bring success when it's combined with much broader, comprehensive approach. When you talk about winning the hearts and minds of local population, when you talk about considerable investment in social welfare programs, infrastructure, support bases, and that all adds to the cost of this war on terror, which proves to be incredibly costly business, and not any nation can afford this, including the United States. And there has been certainly a failure at much broader level, when the global war on terror was supposed to be global, not only in the sense that terrorism has spread across all continents, and subsequently we have to basically reach out to terrorists and chase them across all continents, but it should be a truly global united effort. And there was an effective failure to create a united international coalition that would bring together the majority of countries. There would still be countries that would have different understandings of what terrorism means. They would have different interpretations of who or what actions could be described as terrorists, and who or what actions could be described as, for example, freedom fighters. And obviously, having this divide and having this disagreement whilst we're supposed to be united against our common enemy does create a window of opportunity for terrorists when they try to escape the pressure coming, say, from one region, from one country, a group of countries, into areas where a local government or a country that sort of has responsibility of the area would have a slightly different view. So in effect, yes, we have contributed to the rise of terrorism. We have contributed to the recreation of terrorists, rebreeding of terrorists, whilst killing them and neutralizing them at the same time. And we have failed to act as a united force.
And just as a final point, speaking domestically, how has Australia implemented measures to address the changing face of global terror threats, particularly in that sense that you mentioned before, the rise of right-wing terror?
Well, it has been stated time and time again by our leading security and intelligence officials, including heads of the Australian Security Intelligence Organization, that right-wing terrorism, the threat of right-wing terrorism has actually has been taken far more seriously than the threat of Islamic extremism in Australia. We obviously have had a set of measures. We have introduced and implemented counter-terrorism laws and various legislations that would increase the effectiveness of our intelligence and policing services, give them extra capacities, extra resources, extra responsibility, and an extra degree of autonomy to operate in this environment. The fact that we haven't really seen a continuous scale of terrorist operations doesn't necessarily reflect that we don't have a problem associated with risk of terrorism, rather than it points out to the success of our security services that were able, in the majority of cases, to prevent and preempt acts of terror that were either in the final stages of preparations or were in the planning stages of being prepared. But again, just like with cases in other countries, there is no 100% assurance that all the measures that the government is putting in place would prove to be 100% bulletproof and effective. There is still a degree of skepticism in the community, I think, because people are also getting tired of hearing about risks and threats of terrorism. They can kind of accept this for a time being, but because it's such a we have been in this fight for such a prolonged period of time, I think people are developing some sort of a terrorism fatigue in terms of being alert, being vigilant, being responsive, and also being cooperative. And obviously, without continuous community help and support, government efforts will always be of some degree of success, but not 100% degree of success. And we need to understand this because we don't have a massive intelligence and law enforcement capability as some other countries do. We have fairly targeted capability, very skilled people who are doing their job. But as long as the community remains active and vigilant, this capability will continue to prove its effectiveness. If the community will continue to be suffering from this fatigue, well, the risk of terrorism acts, particularly now when restrictions are gradually being lifted, will increase.
Well, Lexi, we will have to leave it there, but thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
Thanks very much for having me.